How long gone? A beautiful, chilly Tuesday here in money-making Manhattan. Them jeans, how are you feeling?
Who, me? I'm feeling pretty good. You know, every day is a struggle. Every day is pure hell. But overall, I'm doing all right.
Well, I saw a picture of fellow podcaster Mark Maron and guy that we thought was dead, Dave Attell, sitting on a porch. And I noticed that Maron had his boot on like you. And I just, have you guys been able to link up and tap boots yet? Or is this still kind of...
You're talking about knocking boots with Mark Maron?
I don't mean sexual intercourse.
Like a hate fuck? The boot stays on?
I don't mean sexual intercourse.
The boot stays on, man.
I mean more of like a Cheers style tap. You know what I mean? Like a Cheers down the hatch type thing. Like you tap boots, you do a couple push-ups, you keep it moving at Equinox. I just...
do a couple push-ups?
I just want to see you guys bond over this. You have so much in common.
This is... well, we do have so much in common. I do want to see us bond. Obviously, you can't force anything like this. You know, he does often mention that, you know, he's actually a nice guy. And then whenever he says that to a guest, they all say like, no, you're an asshole and you're one of the most intimidating people of all time. I thought you hated me my entire life. And he's like, I'm not like that. So I think with him, it boils down to a new phrase that I just learned. Narcissism of small differences. You familiar with this, Chris? It sort of encapsulates all of your life.
No, I would love for you to mansplain that for me.
it's the idea to quote Wikipedia. I think it was coined by Sigmund Freud originally.
Sure.
From Crowley. But it's basically about how the similarities that two communities share. The more commonalities and similarities they share, the more likely the people are to sort of have feuds or ridicule each other because of the hypersensitivity to the minor differences. So I thought of this when every time I see something involving liquid death, and I wonder why I have such a disdain or a hate in my heart for this, and it's likely because, you know, me growing up a hardcore bro from Orange County, that's sort of the ideal career trajectory for me to start a canned metal water company that's evaluated for billions of dollars.
Yeah, I was about to say, it would definitely be more profitable than what you're doing now. But I mean...
what we're doing now, bitch.
What we're doing now. But you bring up Liquid Death, and David Cho sent something to the group chat earlier about a Celsius competitor that has been launched by some former Liquid Death execs. And look, it's called Lucky Fuck. That's the name of this energy drink. It's called Lucky Fuck. And it has, the flavors are Orange Drizzle, OG Luck, Bodacious Berry, Red Rider Punch, and Tropical Thrill. And the thing with stuff like this is, of course we hate it. It's stupid. It's ugly. It's unnecessary. But at this point, I just expect it all to work, kind of. I mean, it can't be worse than any of these other NA beverages out there.
I agree. I like that they have a flavor called Bodacious Berry, as if this is like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Capri Sun flavor from 1987.
It's also low-key sexual to me a little bit. Like, the word bodacious is usually referring to a body, which feels unnecessary for a canned energy drink.
Interesting. You horny little hooker. I get it. You know, it's fine. It's funny. It's just, it lets me know that nothing really matters anymore, you know? You can just have a fucking energy drink company called Lucky Fuck. I was trying to think of what the name reminded me of. It sounds like the name of, like, Leo DiCaprio's boat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, some kind of, like, cool guy's boat.
Yeah, boat. Yeah.
Calling it Lucky Fuck. Because PJ, you can't call your plane that. But for your Sag Harbor boat or
you
whatever.
You could definitely do that. I also...
Provincetown, what have you.
I was looking at the only website that matters, the Daily Mail, and the Kardashians and others, Jason, are worried that a friend of the show, Scott Disick, has gone too far with the Ozempic. And he's looking good. The jaw is pronounced. He's looking thin. His talentless sweatsuit is draping differently.
Is the jaw can become too pronounced, though. We all know this, right?
Yeah, but I think the jaw becomes too pronounced in an Efron way. But I just think it's funny that the Kardashians would be concerned about anyone doing anything to their bodies. You know what I mean? That's the only... that's the. I'd be concerned if
Scott... Poor Scott can't catch a break. He's like, me?
Yeah, no.
He's
like, I didn't get any titties. I just lost 20. Give me a break, guys. But I was like, damn, this is...
Maybe it wasn't even 20. I mean, did he balloon up to be that fat? He always fluctuated a little bit with his weight, but you know, he's not a tall guy, give or take 11 pounds as the crow flies, and he's good, right?
After Sofia Richie, you know, left him, you know, I think he's been going through it, and I assume that the alcohol intake, I mean, this guy's seen more 1942 than you've forgotten, you know, so I'm gonna assume that there could be some alcohol weight kind of hanging on to his jowls is my
guess.
He's
seen more 1942 than Jose Cuervo himself.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth.
I like the kind of the sweet irony is the Rob Kardashian, the one of the, you know, the most slept on Kardashian in the game.
Oh, by far.
He sort of spent his whole life, you know, his adult and teen years stealing pills from other people in his family, developing a drug addiction, and then having his family be concerned with his health and well-being. Now, finally, his Ozempic is being stolen by Scott Disick in the medicine cabinet. Sweet irony. It's a little taste of your own medicine to Big Rob. What say you?
It's a vicious circle, and the sock entrepreneur...
This Ozempic pokes back.
Yeah, exactly. Sock entrepreneur... Rob Kardashian, I think is not even. I don't think he cares about losing weight. He's too rich. He's got the baby with Blac Chyna. He's living the dream.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
He's living the dream. I mean, there's worse things to do than be filthy rich in Calabasas and not see anyone. You know, it doesn't sound that bad.
Damn, thinking Rob Kardashian, Blac Chyna. I want their kid to be named Black Rob, and now I'm singing Black Rob the song.
No, that's bad.
The artist Black Rob is the only good Diddy song, right?
Don't go Pauly mode. Don't go Pauly mode.
I'm sorry. With Diddy in the news, it's hard to not think of how Black Rob was robbed.
Yeah, he was robbed. That's true. But I also, we needed to follow up because there was a... you know, there's a picture now of Kate Middleton, and it's obviously fake. Is she dead, Jason? Or what do you think? You're the kind of resident conspiracy theorist, so I would love to know.
I create the ideas, and then you are a little more in tune with what the rumor mill is milling. But I have heard a couple rumors that I could share. You can try them on for size. I'll get a room started for you.
I would I would love that, please.
Okay. So her husband, William.
Yeah, her husband, the future king of England, yes.
The future king of England, you know, streets are saying he has a history of violence.
Oh.
And people are saying that he may have given her a two-piece leg and thigh. And she's sort of laid up.
Okay.
Like hopefully Jake Paul will be in a couple months.
Okay, so you're saying
I'm receiving the business end of a royal whoop.
So you're saying that this young man, the future
don't retreat, I say.
The future king of England took off his barber jacket, politely hung it next to his wellies in the mudroom, and then proceeded.
Yeah, slowly removed. And we are not making light of domestic violence. It is an awful, terrible thing. In this case, bear with us, the white gloves being removed each finger by finger.
He took off his...
as if you're about to, and he slaps her with the white glove. Ah!
I love the idea of him taking off his tuxedo with tails and folding it and putting it back into the, I mean, okay, I don't believe that because I think that there's too much, that would have been out by now, I think. If he really had a history of it, I feel like you can't get away with that for too long.
Well, the other thing that sort of back, I think I listened to this on another pod. The other thing that backs up that a little bit, or there's a question that needs to be answered, is like right around when it happened, he said that he had to go talk to he flew from Montecito or whatever back to England and had a meeting with his dad for 45 minutes.
I think you're thinking of Harry. You're thinking of Harry, the one okay. who's married to Meghan Markle, who lives in Montecito in Ellen's crib, or Tyler Perry's crib, one or the other.
Okay. Apparently, William flew back, a very long yes. flight somewhere to go link with his dad to have a IRL chat that lasted 45 minutes and then he was out. So if it was a 45-minute chat, were they speaking about some sensitive material in person because they didn't want to, no phones,
pro.
Especially no Google Meet. Microsoft Teams, you can't do that.
No, Teams feels secure, actually. It's so bad that it feels secure.
Imagine going on Microsoft Teams and like snot crying, like, I fucked up, Dad. I fucked up. And it's like, boom. And you're like, a little thumbs down emoji pops up.
Dad, I'm using it on the browser. I didn't have time to download the app.
I'm so stupid. Stupid.
I can't wait for this to keep unfolding. And we did. We lost. People are acting like this happens sometimes, and it really frustrates me, Jason. But Dries Van Noten has stepped down from his eponymous label, and one that he sold a majority stake in years ago. So clearly,
is that how you say his name?
Yeah. And then he clearly just did the thing that everyone does, where you sell your brand, you're contractually obligated to stay on for X amount of years as the creative director, and then you ride off into the sunset and you have your beautiful dog and your rich English garden, and you kind of do your thing. People are acting like this man died today. Like, people are acting like the amount of posting I'm seeing is like he died, and it's a classic thing that happens where, if you're going to post like that, I need to check your closet. How much Dries do you have? If you're that upset by this man dying, by this man retiring, you need to have a closet full of this shit the way you're posting. Otherwise, if you got one t-shirt on sale, you can't mourn his job.
And as a proud owner of some wide leg jeans, I feel that I may speak now, but if you are really that much of a fan of this person's career, you should want them to retire when they are on top, have a mental health moment, bow out gracefully, enjoy the rest of their life instead of being, a slave to exactly. the pattern sheet, a slave to the runway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what he was.
The only thing I could think of, I was looking at it, and that meme where it says, it's like a picture of a hot Latina person, and the subtitles say cries in Spanish.
Yes, yes, yes.
All I could think of was dries in Spanish. Mm-hmm, I'm working with the pronunciation on it. I understand. It's a 4 out of 10 right now.
You like to freak it, but yeah, stick
with us.
This always happens where I'm like, bitch, you're wearing Zara head to toe mourning a guy. Like, come on. Like, just everybody relax. This guy is literally, he has this incredible, he's known for his gardens. He's got this beautiful dog. He's got a rich life. He's given you plenty of great clothes over the years. Actually, I have a Dries pair of shoes coming in the mail today.
Yes.
And I think that we got to let this guy rock. Don't make people think he's dead by your posting. That's irresponsible of you as a fan.
And Morheim, check on Emil right now. Make sure he's okay.
Pray for Emil. Emil spent more on Dries than I've made, so that it's possible. it's possible that Emil is the only person I personally know that can talk about this, that can act like he died.
Do you think Emil gets invited to the super spender Dries dinner?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he might not go because he's busy in the studio, but he definitely gets invited.
He pulls up. Valets the Range Rover with the Dries ski goggles on. It's not really a big deal. It's not. I mean, a lot of people don't have all the accessories. Not a big deal.
It's not.
I've been having an issue with picking out a color, and I wanted to talk to you about this. Like, I'm starting I'm relaunching my Substack later this week.
Yes, yes.
And I've got the name and the stuff and the
all
the everything worked out.
And I want to comment on the name quickly. I'm really proud of you for kind of pushing yourself and finding something inventive and creative.
Yeah, the name of my Substack is just Jason Stewart.
It's gonna blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, it was when I talked to Carolyn about it when I was like, it used to be called, Let Me Get a Bite. We, you and me and Dana Dear Dana, we did that little food zine called String Bean, and I was like, that's kind of a cute name because I'm tall and beanie. And I was like, do I invent a new name for it? And it's like, and she was like, just call it your name. You want people to remember, you want your name to be famous, not the, and I was like,
yeah, no, she's right.
You know, it was a real, right. You know, lose the Facebook, it's cleaner kind of moment where, you know, mm-hmm. it is important to have somebody who's like my wife is like, doesn't subscribe to them. So she's like removed in a way where not like us, where we're like, well, actually it should have this. And then the header outro email message, mm-hmm. and, you know, she's just like, oh, newsletter. That's kind of gay. Like just call it your name. And I was like, by golly, you're right. But the hard part that I'm having is the color, because it's just like, you know, black text on a white background.
Well, look, I saw the art mock-ups, and I think that your color story should be blue. I think that's where I am leaning, and I think that as simple as it can be. But we're excited to read. That's what really matters, Jason. Don't get caught up.
You're right.
This kind of vain bullshit. Just you know, let the words do the speaking. But we do have a guest.
Girl,
today.
I needed that.
We do have a guest today. Molly Lewis is an Australian whistler who now lives in L.A. She's whistled with everyone. Dr. Dre, Karen O, Jackson Brown. She's on the Billie Eilish What Was I Made For? Okay. She's on the Score, I guess, is what's going on. But we were label mates with her at one point at Jag Jaguar.
Yeah.
And we never got to link. But she also has a... She has a night in LA called Cafe Molly that I want to hear more about. So let's tap in. Let's give her a jingle.
Cafe Molly, one of my favorite Ibiza mix compilations as well.
Yeah, of course. That's one of mine too.
I'm excited. This is our first whistler on the show, right?
Oh, first and last. This is the only one that matters.
First and last.
This is the only one that matters. We go straight to the top. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what we do here at How Long Gone.
Preach.
All right, let's give her a call.
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. Mm. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off. That's more than half at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
Molly, we're coming live and direct. I wanted to comment because just over your right shoulder, you've got the big dog espresso machine. And Are you a recovering barista? Are you just a coffee enthusiast? What's the story?
I like to make a cappuccino at home at least once a day.
Okay.
And
okay.
So I need a machine that can handle that, which is why I buy Breville.
Okay. What's your milk story? What's your temperature?
Okay. Well, you got to get it so hot that, you know, you can't keep touching the bottom of the little milk frother and then, you know, it's ready. But I buy this really special milk, Strauss. Do you know this milk? It's a glass bottle with the cream top.
Yeah, this is Jason's safe word, actually. You're home, Molly. You're home.
I have a gallon of Strauss in my refrigerator right as we speak. I wish they came in glass as well, but they don't. Have you tried the Strauss barista blend?
I didn't know. I didn't know about this.
Yeah, well, you know, didn't think so. Okay. Give it a Google.
Yeah.
No, that was a joke. That was a full joke. I've never tried it myself either.
They have this, though?
But I've seen it.
No.
Yeah. No. Just
okay, barista blend.
Hold on. But
Strauss.
The Strauss goes for like, it's like an $18 a gallon kind of shit, right? It's not.
No. At Whole Foods, it's $9.99 a gallon.
Oh,
and
okay.
You get money back when you return your glass bottles.
Okay.
Yeah, the glass bottles, $2 California redemption. All you have to do is wait in line like a schmuck and you get the $2. They give you the money in cash.
You both know I've never returned a glass bottle in my entire fucking life. That is not something that's on my radar. But I like that you get a rebate. That's nice because it keeps you coming back. So you can get this at Whole Foods or you have to go to a local purveyor?
I just moved. I used to get it from Lassen's in Echo Park. It was like the only thing I'd buy from there because if I bought anything else, it would be, you know, a $100 grocery bill.
Well,
for like
we don't support Lassen's because of their Christian beliefs, but I understand the price. The pricing,
oh, no,
the pricing is also high.
I don't care about the Christian beliefs. It's like everything's just expensive.
I care about the cereal prices.
That's why I don't support Lassen's. But I just moved to New York City and I actually don't know where to get Strauss. And I also don't know how I'm going to carry it in a glass bottle from wherever I have to schlep, you know,
okay,
to go to the grocery store.
Well, you said schlep. You really are a New Yorker now. Well, there's a lot of guys listening right now who are going to DM you exact places where you live and where you can find Strauss milk.
Are they going to schlep my bottles for me?
They might schlep
your
bottles.
Something that you want, that's something that could be available on the table.
Some milk boys? Sure.
Who doesn't want their bottles schlepped? You know what I mean? Well, I think that there's, look, let me tell, as a New Yorker, I personally don't cook. I hate groceries. I don't like keeping food in the house. But the key, you use Whole Foods to deliver and the guys will bring it up the stairs.
Oh.
They'll bring it straight to your door. Or gals. So that's why when I'm ordering six cases of La Croix, I'm not going to carry that. I'm not going to throw that in the back of my Subaru. So I have to have it delivered. And I would suggest the same for you, especially I imagine the organic produce you're ordering could fill up an Escalade.
And use the promo code HOWLONG when you sign up for Instacart or GoPuff, and you'll save some money at the end of the month. We mostly just talk about milk on this show as you are learning.
Yeah.
But how long ago did you move to New York? I thought you were LA, bro.
I was LA for 10 years, and I moved to New York like 2 weeks ago.
Damn.
So. Yeah, I'm still, all the boxes are in the other room.
Okay,
I'm
this is not unpacking. A 4-day sublet. This is a permanent move to New York?
Yeah, I even moved my furniture. Like I did it properly. I, you know, I got a moving company. I wrapped up all my things, my plates. Like, you know, that felt very adult because I think the last time I moved, I had one suitcase and, you know, now I have 10 years worth of crapola and, you know, I had to bring it with me.
I'm still yet to do an adult move like you just did. I don't think it's ever going to really happen. I don't have it in my bones.
It sucks.
I've also never moved across the country.
It sucks.
Well, it was a lot. It was huge. I didn't really realize.
Did you fly? You didn't drive. You flew.
I flew and then I had like a couple weeks where the furniture was still on its way. And so I was on an air mattress in the empty apartment. in the dust. But
it was just you and the PlayStation, and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the PlayStation came carry on with me, of course.
It's my emotional support gaming system.
Yeah, you know me.
What is the reason to move to, besides it being the superior city of the two, why the relocation? Is there more opportunity for you here?
Hopefully a residency at the Carlisle.
Oh, yeah, that's the goal. That'd be great.
We'll set it up for you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, you'll talk to Mr. Carlisle for me.
I'll talk to Mr. Carlisle directly. I'll text him.
Thank you.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah. I love New York. I've always loved New York, and I just felt like a change. And I'd been coming here for the last couple of years on and off, and never wanting to leave. And that kind of felt like a sign when every time I had to leave, I was sad about it. But it seemed too difficult. Like, I'd heard millions of stories about how tough it is to get an apartment and, you know, just, it's difficult here, you know, it's expensive, it's hard. And then an apartment kind of fell into my lap, like, you know, one of those miraculous stories where I told someone I wanted to move to New York and they were like, oh, my girlfriend and I are about to leave our place. You should talk to our landlords. We'll put you in touch. So it felt like, kismet. You know, I was in the right place at the right time. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. What's the square footage? What's the monthly first and last, and what's the address? Let's get into it, honey.
Allison.
Let's get the coordinate. Just the coordinates. The latitude and longitude is plenty. We don't need exact.
So the universe made it very easy for you to make this happen. And you said, you know what? Why the hell not?
Yeah. Just felt like if I didn't say yes to this opportunity, I'd never move to New York. And I'd always wanted to do it. So, you know, why not?
Okay. So 2 weeks in, how much of a regret has this been so far?
I'm actually having a great,
because it's cold there, girl.
It's not great today, but I'm like I've been in LA for 10 years, so I'm like, wow, I get to wear a scarf, you know. This is all very, it's a novelty. I haven't experienced a full winter yet, so talk to me in like a year. And
okay, are you in Brooklyn or Manhattan? I know the answer to this, but I'm asking anyway.
I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay, yeah, we knew. I mean, I could tell by just the space I can see on the screen, you know, where you were. But is that what you wanted, or were you open to anything as long as the apartment was what you wanted?
Oh, you know, I wanted a penthouse on Central Park.
Sure. Don't we all? But I like that you're reasonable.
No, I was open to, you know, I've stayed in so many different parts of New York City over my time visiting, and, you know, getting random sublets and crashing at friends' places. Like, I've been all over, except Staten Island. Never stayed there.
That's probably for the best. That's why you're still with us.
That's what I've heard. But, you know, I want to get the ferry, you know, and experience it for myself. But I was open to different things. I mean, I love Manhattan. I'd love like a city skyline view, but, you know, you can't have everything.
You can get the binoculars out. Maybe see one from where you are.
I do have binoculars, but I can't see the skyline.
I mean, look, it's your first apartment in New York. You give yourself some time. You know, you never know what the future holds.
Yeah.
You never know what the future
holds.
One
day at a time, Carrie Bradshaw. Are the binoculars for anything specifically? Maybe a bird watching?
You know, I do look at birds sometimes with the binoculars. It can be done. They're really nice binoculars.
It sounds like you're looking at your neighbors getting out of the shower the way you're stumbling over these words.
Okay. I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I promise. they're really like beautiful binoculars. I want to take them down to the water and like look at the city with them. That's kind of what I want to do with
them. Were these a gift, or did you buy these yourself? Where did these come from? Because if they're expensive, it's an interesting choice.
Family heirloom?
They were a gift from my dad for Christmas, actually. So
that's nice. That's a nice gift. Is your dad
a great gift?
Yeah.
Is your dad a bird? Is your dad a birder? Is he?
No, but he he's not a birder. I mean, he lives in an area. So my dad lives in a place called Mullumbimby in Australia. My family all lives in this town called Mullumbimby. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Of course, sure.
But it's, very rural, small town, Australia. And my dad has you know, this kind of land with a beautiful view of the hinterland. So he's, you know, he uses his binoculars to check out all sorts of things. Neighbors getting out of showers.
Have a look out into the bush.
Looking at the bush, yeah.
What is the closest city we've heard of to this kind of town?
Probably Wollongmaloo.
No, not Wollongmaloo. That's somewhere else. No, Mullumbimby.
I messed up.
Mullumbimby is close to, well, it's not really close to any big cities. I guess
I had a feeling. Where do you fly?
Yeah. 2 hours south of Brisbane, which I wouldn't call a big city. Sorry, Brisbane.
It's pretty big. Don't talk shit on Bris Vegas, mate.
Oh, Bris Vegas. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, cut.
Sorry.
So you fly. So if you fly home to visit, you got to sit the 15 hours from L.A. to Sydney and then to Brisbane and then a car ride.
And then you ride an elephant for the last 6 miles.
Kangaroo, yeah, okay. Actually, the pouch. No, it's, well, it used to be L.A. to Sydney direct, which was like 14 hours or something, mm-hmm. Just nothing. And then and then I'd get a little flight to actually Ballina or the Gold Coast.
Okay.
And then it's like, you know, half hour drive to Mullum.
Okay, that doesn't sound bad. That's not too bad.
Yeah, so does that mean that you cut your teeth in the whistling game on Australia's Gold Coast? Not a very forgiving atmosphere for local music like that. I've personally DJed there one time and I was playing club music for drunk people, mm-hmm. And even then they wanted to fight me. So what was it like? What was it like whistling for these bastards?
I never have. Okay. No, that's terrifying. I'd get destroyed. Like, you know.
Are these people that aggressive? Is it really that lit?
They're just drunk with untapped rage issues, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, the Gold Coast, you know, in Mullumbimby we call it the Cold Ghost. But
that one stings.
Yeah.
I like that.
But no, I've done a couple little I've never played music in Australia. That was not on my radar. I didn't think that was a possibility. It was kind of only like later. But I have played a few times in Australia now since I've been doing music for longer. I played at a little town hall in Mullum when I was home over the holidays, which was cute. The Kurabel Hall.
Know it well.
Which was, yeah, it's full of, you know, very kind hippies. It's not like the Gold Coast kind of atmosphere. Okay.
It was more of a welcoming environment for your craft.
Yes.
Than Cold Ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the musical journey. Before I forget about the birds, though, do birds respect you more than an average person? Or can you kind of understand what they're saying a little bit more than the average person?
No, I don't get much respect from the bird world. I try, though. Like, I definitely try to.
I try as well. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. No, they don't, you know, they really kind of don't really seem to care much. Although, you know, I always kind of try to mimic bird sound or like talk to them in some way if I'm out in nature. But one time I was at a party in LA and I met a parrot. An 18-year-old African gray parrot. You know, these parrots, they're one of the smartest bird species. Mm-hmm. And so
geniuses.
He could speak.
18.
And he was, you know, 18.
He's legal.
So he was cussing. He was cussing and shit. He's 18. Yeah. He's letting.
He was like, Mom, I want to go.
Yeah.
So his brain is very developed and you're able to have like a real actual conversation with him?
Yeah, we had a back and forth. He sat on my shoulder and we,
whoa,
you know, whistled to each other, looking into each other's eyes. And it was like, I mean, that was incredible and moving. And at the end of our, I don't know what I said to him, but he kissed me on the lips.
Oh, hell no.
I was just going to say, this is, this is feeling romantic.
He went in for a smooch?
He went in for a smooch. Yeah, I was just blown away. I was like, it was so cute.
Isn't that just like a parrot?
He probably asked first like a nerd, but you couldn't understand him.
I know.
He squawked for consent.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if you're going to ask to kiss me, I don't, you know, it's the moment has passed. Do you remember his name?
Picasso.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget.
No, how could you?
Yeah.
An 18-year-old skater named Picasso? Mamma mia.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there and the bird, and those are, they're big, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, quite a large bird.
Were the claws digging into the shoulder? Did it hurt? But you didn't even notice it because the love was kind of sparking as it happened?
Yeah, no, you know, he knew how to hang on to a woman. This wasn't his first rodeo.
Okay, all right.
A little claw on the small of the back, a little blood starts dripping down.
Yeah.
Picasso knows how to talk to a woman.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing, but yeah.
Okay. Go on, Picasso.
Yeah.
That's one of the wilder stories I've ever heard. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
Well. So to give some more context, because it was basically I met him at there's this magic house in LA that the family that started the Magic Castle, I don't know if you know about the Magic Castle, the Magicians Guild. The family that started this guild, they have this beautiful old house in Hancock Park that has been in the family for many generations. And they have a theater in the backyard, like next to the grotto and, you know, all of this kind of incredible landscaping. And the theater was the precursor to the Magic Castle. And so they used to have these shows there where, like, you know, Orson Welles would come and Charlie Chaplin, and it was, you know, just this amazing little place called the Brookledge Follies. Mm-hmm. And so they had this show there, this magic show.
CBGB of music.
Of magic.
Magic.
Yeah, it was the place to go.
Okay.
And they still do shows there occasionally, and the crowd is always extremely eclectic and interesting. I met Pee Wee Herman there.
You don't say.
Pee-wee. Yeah, and rest in peace.
Pee-wee. I know. Rest in peace, Pee-wee.
So you met a lot of people who were steampunk adjacent, bird owners, people who have lizards and things like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, my kind of people.
Your peeps.
Curiosities.
Yeah. But yeah, so Picasso was just, you know, a regular there.
Of course. your regular booth, Mr. Picasso, that kind of thing.
Was Picasso's minder there as well? Or was Picasso flying solo? Okay.
Picasso with no chaperone. he calls the lift himself.
Was
on the phone?
Was the chaperone a looker or more of a parrot owner?
Sorry, was the chaperone a looker or what?
He wants to know how fuckable this parrot owner was.
Was the parrot owner hot? Is what I'm asking.
To me or in general?
Let's start with to
super
you.
Super good and then question, we can go to, Molly. Let's general. Go both.
Well,
and then we could go in general.
Let's just say I don't remember anything about the owner. I was, you know, I was enthralled.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
Focus on Picasso.
The I was focused.
Took your damn breath away.
I was focused elsewhere.
Okay. That's a very diplomatic way to put it. I appreciate that. You're a pro.
Yeah. So I assume that what you do, you're sort of tangentially swimming in the magic pool, you know, maybe some vaudevillian, a little theater, you know, are there any other things that you are sort of tangentially a part of or other communities that support you? I don't know, any like Renaissance fair type of activities or something?
I would love to be more in the Ren Fair world, but yeah, they haven't embraced me yet.
Wrong podcast. Wrong podcast for that.
oh yeah? Uh-oh. Are you Ren Fair haters?
We're not. I mean, I'm personally anti-Ren Fair, but I don't want to speak for Jason. I mean,
I'm neutral as it pertains to the Renaissance, I would say. I like a turkey leg as much as the next person. I like the music of Caroline Polachek from time to time, but you know, I don't go full.
Why does that appeal to you? The aesthetic of it or just the gathering?
Renaissance money is long money, baby.
Yeah. Oh, they got bread.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, the big bucks in the Ren community.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. You open up the lid, a little ASMR. It says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
Like, I've always been interested in like Renaissance and medieval history. I have, like, you know, when people ask, like, what time would you go back to if you could, you know, traverse history? And like, I have just, I know it's like so misguided.
That's your choice. That's your choice. You don't want to go back to the 80s and do coke during the day. You want to go back to the Renaissance.
If I could be like a fly on the wall and not actually have to, you know, be involved in the brutality of the
not
world.
Not have your family be beheaded.
Yeah.
Or anything.
You don't want
like
to
that.
Get your head, you don't want to get your head chopped off, but you'd like to check it out.
Yeah, if I could just check it out. Because, like, yeah, I love the, you know, the costume and the music and the architecture and the, I don't know, the historical intrigue, like, the, you know, there's just so much going on. And and then the Ren Faire is like a good way to experience a little bit of that. There's always like the people that come, like the steampunk people, the pirate people. I'm not, you know, I'm not okay with that. I'm a Ren Faire.
Okay, you're a purist.
Yeah.
Okay. So we want less top hats and more armor.
Yeah.
More full head to toe chainmail.
Yeah.
Okay. The armor, maybe the armor stays on. You know what I mean, Molly? I'm not opposed to. I mean, I'll try it once.
Chainmail is a little heavy, but I do think it's cool looking. overall.
Do you own or collect any swords, shields, helmets, weaponry, things like that? Do you smith?
No, I don't.
You've smithed.
I promise I haven't. I've been interested in whittling, which is upsetting because I don't really want to be a whistling whittler.
You are too young to whittle. You can't get into that yet. You have a lot of life left ahead of you. You have a successful career.
I almost feel as if I have to explain what whittling is to our Gen Alpha audience. No. That's how antiquated it is. To our listeners at home, it's when you sit on a porch with a piece of wood and a small knife, and you slowly carve it and shape it into a design. That's more or less whittling, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have like a dream book or like a mood board? If you were to start whittling, do you know what the first thing you would whittle it would be? Raiders logo, something like that?
I'd like to make like some like spoons.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. So you want to go less ornamental, more useful. So you can
you want to sell these things at Cookbook? Is that where we're heading?
Yeah, it sounds like that.
Oh, or is this for artist own? We keep it.
These are personal. Okay.
For personal use. This is for personal, putting a scoop of stevia in her Strauss milk cappuccino every morning.
Yeah, exactly. Stevia though.
Okay, you want these salad tossers to be, and they want to end up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame once you eventually pass, right?
I wasn't thinking about that, but yeah, exactly.
Now that you brought it up, I would love for my work.
Now that you brought it up, I'm going to make them, you know.
I'm a big picture guy, you know.
Are you a low tech kind of person? Like, do you not watch TV? Is that your vibe? Or do you watch reality shows just like me?
You know, I don't, I definitely watch things. I don't watch reality often.
Don't look at me. For you guys at home, she looked at me with disgust when she said that. I just want to be very clear.
As one should.
For everyone at home, I didn't. I appreciate, you know, everyone's viewing habits.
Look, I recognize everyone's viewing habits. I have no issues.
Let the record state.
Even if they're disgusting and idiotic.
She got you.
Got him.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding.
No, please.
No, I think I just, I don't watch enough. I think when I'm watching something, I spend too long thinking about what I'm going to watch that I'm like intentional about what I watch.
Decision fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's only so many medieval documentaries that you can watch.
Yeah, there's only so much on Tubi. Because I was just asking if you do you have a TV in your new house because if you don't, then I could see whittling being necessary kind of to kill some time before bed.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a TV in the new apartment. But you know, a computer is a screen. I got this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A computer is technically a screen.
Yeah. I mean, I like watching movies and I really like watching movies in a good fashion. I'm kind of, you know, I like make sure all the lights are low. No one's allowed to.
No phones.
No phones. Yeah. So I would like to get some kind of setup where I can watch movies well.
Do you have kind of a special popcorn recipe you're willing to share with the group, or are you just kind of going Orville?
I'm a big Nooch girl. Do you know, just add a lot of nutritional yeast.
Oh, Nooch sounds like a Kardashian vitamin brand, but I nutritional yeast.
Did you just call nutritional yeast Nooch?
She did.
You don't?
I mean, I do now. I do. I've been eating Nooch for decades.
BYO my Nooch.
Hook it up with some of that Nooch.
Nooch on popcorn is my favorite.
There's that brand that sells that, and it's very good. It's you can buy it with
pre-nooched.
Yeah Bjorn's corn is what it's called. I love it, and they make a spicy one as well that's got a little kick to it with the nutritional yeast.
If one were to consume pre-made shelf stable popcorn, which is a fool's errand if you ask me, no reason to do that. But in a pinch, it'll work.
Yeah, I mean, it's sorry, I don't have a microwave in my house. I'm not poor, but I understand what you're saying, Chris.
I do stovetop in my Le Creuset. Suck my dick.
Stovetop popcorn that seems very laborious. That feels like a real lot, of work for a small payoff.
Because
popcorn isn't a meal; it's a snack. Do you put chocolate in or anything, or you just go straight Nooch?
I'm a savory popcorn person. Okay.
I don't like the
venture.
When people mix, when they put the M&Ms or whatever, it just your hands get so dirty. How could you concentrate? You got chocolate all over your hand. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
That's why I've got my wet wipes, you guys. So, Molly, on the new record, there's a sleeve on the insert that has instructions for listening to the album. And I feel like this is a very smart, potentially emerging new trend in music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you invented this, but you are on the forefront of this. So I want to know what these instructions are and why you felt the need to include them.
Yeah, because I can't bear the thought of people listening to this music and not the right atmosphere. It's unbearable.
Okay. Set the stage. Beautiful. Set the stage for me, please. Please.
Well, you know, you got to put the lights down low. Maybe light a candle.
Mm-hmm.
Mood lighting is a must, basically.
Oh, hold on. Okay. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Okay. Now, go ahead. All right, go ahead.
That's okay. I just, what else did I say? You know, I think I was just kind of like laying out different scenarios that would be nice, you know, if you,
okay.
you can lie on your chaise lounge with your eyes closed, or you can, you know, be at a dinner party with friends, clinking crystal glasses. You can be wearing velvet silk, or you can be fully nude. But those are the only options. And
Okay.
It makes for a better listening experience.
I agree.
I like this. I do think we need more prescriptions like this. Is there anywhere maybe you would say not to listen to it, like just so I don't do it wrong? Is there something specifically that feels bad to you?
Where not to listen? I mean, no.
Stream it everywhere at all times, but maybe I wouldn't listen to it while I'm on the treadmill at the gym, maybe.
That wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's not.
I listened to it this morning while I was doing some stretches and exercises.
How was that?
And it was nice.
Okay, cool.
It worked out well. I did not do lights down low, though.
That's okay. I forgive you.
Another time. But the thing that I like about it is I come from a musical background. I was like a DJ for a long time. And now my brain is sort of destroyed for that kind of music. And I mostly just listen to ambient music. And when I'm listening to music with lyrics and words, it sort of, it messes up my concentration. But when I listen to your music, it's still instrumental, but then with the addition of mouth melodies, I guess. So it's like everything is there except actual words that my brain can focus on and be distracted and removed from it. So I really feel like this is like a cool, I mean, obviously your whistling is an instrument the same way a singing voice is an instrument, but with the removal of lyrics, it becomes very meditative.
Thank you. Yeah, I personally find it hard to listen to music with lyrics unless I'm fully concentrating, like, you know, if I'm driving and it's something I want to sing along to or like really take in, or yeah, sitting or walking or, you know, concentrating. But yeah, I listen to a lot of instrumental music in my day-to-day life, and I love it as something that can be background and just like enhance my world and my environment, or yeah, something that, you know, you can focus on and feel.
But yeah, driving is a good example. When you are driving and listening and belting out those songs, what are three artists that you're singing along to?
Okay, I'm trying to think of what I had in the car in LA. I had Avalon, Roxy Music. I love that album. What else have I been belting? Oh man, when I was packing up my apartment, I was listening. I like made like a moving playlist because I was like, what's like moving music that's going to get me pumped? And like,
Huey Lewis on the Sonos.
Like Dire Straits. I was listening to Dire Straits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I could carry some boxes to that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, at one point this Carly Simon song came on that really, it was too much for me. Coming Around Again, do you know this one?
I do know that one.
I couldn't even hear it, start because it was just too emotional.
I remember being a little kid when that song came out and you would hear it on the radio. And even as a small child, I would be like, emotionally taken aback by it.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It's a big one. Okay, these are all pretty good belters. I'm glad you didn't say like Taylor Swift or something.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't say Steely Dan or Taylor Swift. You know, I feel like you made some good choices.
Yeah.
Also, when I was listening to your album this morning, I felt like it would be perfect to score a Tarantino film. Have you been approached for any scoring, or do you have any scoring dreams?
I do have scoring dreams. Since I was a kid, I've just always been in love with movie soundtracks. Like, I think the first kind of musical epiphany I had as a child was listening to the Fellowship of the Ring CD, like alone in my room. Because I was really obsessed with that. And I even wrote to Howard Shore, the composer, when I was 12, because I was just like, it changed my life. But I love movie soundtracks. And I think, you know, that's always influence when I'm making music.
I just looked up the Fellowship of the Ring soundtrack, released 2 months after Strokes, This Is It. And it really is a true fork in the road.
Oh,
like,
my God.
At that time, yeah. I was listening to the Strokes and, like, doing coke and trying to smoke cigs and be cool. And you're sending messages to the composer who scored a song called Concerning Hobbits.
A great tune.
You might be the only person in history who's called that a great tune.
I'm not. I'm not. You just wait. I'm sure there's some
listeners. Obviously, it's a very... The Lord of the Rings tale is a very popular story,
very popular.
Of course. I'm sure I'm going to add in Concerning Hobbits music bed right now.
And
into
you
the
will
episode,
realize
so.
What a great tune it is.
Let it transport me.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite track was track 12, The Breaking of the Fellowship. But yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
I pick just one? Okay, I mean, for you to know the song titles of this film score from 23 years ago lets me know that you really are a true lifer. You are about this shit.
Yeah. I mean, I was 12 when this came out. It was very formative. That there was that fork in the road. I never listened to the Strokes. I was like, I went down the other path. And... became Renfair, Whistler person.
We noticed. We saw that. We picked up on that.
Yeah.
Do you still listen to the soundtrack occasionally, or does it take you back too far?
Oh yeah, I totally do. It's incredible. I mean, it holds up. I actually.
Do you have it on vinyl?
I don't. But that would be amazing.
Santa Claus is listening.
Yeah.
Man, throwing that on side, the B side, it's the better side. Hit the bong. Wow. Clean your whole house to
is
that.
Is it on vinyl? Do they have this on vinyl?
It's probably more of a on CD kind of thing, but they might have reissued the vinyl for the heads for Record Store Day.
They,
you know,
for nerds just like you, they reissue this shit.
Yeah.
They'll do 5,000 pressings and people will buy it. People who don't know, no one even owns a record player. They'll just buy it as an artifact. You know?
Yeah, I just want to put it on my wall.
Yeah.
Put it on the wall.
Yeah, it's art for you.
They sell the frames at Urban. I wanted to talk about the evolution, I guess, of competitive whistling. You have been competing since you were a child, sort of. I don't know if you do anymore, but like maybe competition is the wrong word for it, but maybe like a showcase or a jam sesh or something like that. And I wanted to know like the early days of whistling jamborees versus now, like how far the evolution of that world has come.
I love the idea of me going to whistle jamborees as a child, but that's not...
She's like, bitch, I go to Electric Lady with Mark Ronson. I don't go to a jamboree.
I was looking, I was scrolling back on the IG and you were posting little places of like, I whistled here when I was like a little kid.
My first, I have, so basically the whistle competitions was, that's how I found out that whistling was something that existed in this, you know, realm, competitive realm, but also that there were people that were doing this in, professionally, I guess, and competing with each other to be the best, because I saw a documentary about a whistling competition, but I only went to that competition when I was 22. That was the first time I'd ever competed this was the first time I'd ever performed on stage. You know, before that, like, you know, Mullumbimby, it's a small place, but even if I was in New York, I don't think there would have been many opportunities for me as like a whistler.
Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, so I went to North Carolina when I was 22 to the International Whistling Competition. And that was like my first kind of, taste of the whistle world.
Can I ask you a question? What's the crowd like? If you could just give us a quick overview of the crowd at this competition, what's the general vibe?
Total freaks. Okay. No, I'm kind of kidding, but you know, I also count myself in that freak category. Sure, it's like who is there? Basically, it's not like a big event, you know. The crowd mm-hmm. at the whistle competition are basically just the other whistlers waiting to compete, you know, and maybe like a random straggler. Okay,
sure. It's not a sold out show. Yeah, it's not a sold out show.
There aren't many fans or anything. It's just like who accidentally came here and who purposely came here.
Yeah.
Like 12 people.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess my other question is, it is musical in a lot of ways, but do you think other people make music, quote unquote, or do you think it's more like I whistle? Do you know what I mean?
Not many whistlers make music. I think that's why I stand out, I guess, in the whistle realm, because no one else is making whistle albums or whistle But also there aren't many whistlers, so you know.
Sure. But the competition was small, is what you're. The takeaway for me is it wasn't crazy, but it was you and your peers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clicky.
It's
you know,
it just feels
at
like
the after party. It gets clicky. You can't whistle with us.
It feels like an all walks of life kind of thing because of what it is. It feels like it would really attract a wide array.
On all walks of life?
No, life. all walks of life.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought that was like a reality show reference, like all walks of life.
All right, so today
it reminds me of when I was in high school and I tried out for the badminton team, and they were like, all three of you are on the team. It was like that kind of thing. Like,
yes,
if you're willing to sign up, you're on
it. Exactly. Like, so this is the thing. When I saw this documentary as a kid, my parents showed me, and it's called Pucker Up, and it's about the competition. And my dad said to me, if you ever get into that competition, I'll take you there. And, you know, as a kid, I was like, those words rang in my head. And I was like, I'm always going to remember that. And when I finished university and I kind of was feeling a bit aimless and not sure what to do, I remembered those words and I looked into entering the competition. And it was like, you know, if you pay the $50 registration fee, you get in. So I got in, but yeah, anyone can get
Guess what, Dad?
Yeah. I was like, hey, Father, we're going. I got in.
I did it.
Yeah. But he did take me. It was...
That's sweet.
I mean, that changed the course of your life. That's amazing. It's a great story. It really is.
Yeah. And was it last year or is it annually now, the Masters of Musical Whistling? What exactly goes down at that? That feels like the big show.
Well, that is...
It was at the Sphere this year, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no, that one is held in LA. It's every other year. It's last year it was in the Barnsdale Theater. Really pretty little place.
I've eaten some sandwiches there.
Yeah, it's like 3 days of intensive whistle events. And it's run by a woman named Caroline Kaufman, the whistling diva. And, you know, she's...
Hold on. You're our whistling diva. Don't do that.
There can only be one.
Yeah.
Well,
one diva to rule them all, Molly.
I will have to like show down with her at high noon at some point.
It's a whistle off.
But yeah, it was, you know, I found it really, it's a lot. I like going because I like to just actually meet other whistlers, which I never get to do. And, you know, it's like fun to meet people and talk to them about this very specific thing.
Yeah. You must feel drawn to them.
Yeah.
We share this very rare thing, and we should... I want to ask all of you people questions about your life to see how similar we are.
What's so interesting about it, anything I'm into, if I go meet the people that are into it, they're basically just people like me. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's going to be bros with tattoos that are into kind of the same general thing. I feel like this is really, like I said, in all walks of life where you're like, I have to talk to you because this is insane that we're in the same room.
Yeah. And it is just such a range of people. It's like, you know, people from all over the world, Japanese whistlers, Indian whistlers, all different age ranges. Although, yeah, last year was a lot younger than it used to be. I remember when I went to Louisburg, the first one, I kind of joked that the median age was dead because it was just like, you know. Mm. But yeah, these days there's some younger whistlers there.
Nice. I'm glad to know that the kids are discovering it.
Thanks, TikTok.
I mean, I don't want that. This is my thing.
Okay,
you know?
So you don't, okay. You don't want an Olivia Rodrigo type to come around and kind of blow you out of the water. You want to hold the title.
Oh, hell no.
That is my worst nightmare. Do you ever have any anxiety or fever dreams about, like, you know, a scenario that Chris just said, and Olivia Rodrigo coming out here? She just got her tits done. She's whistling twice as good as you. Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. Whistling with good tits? No, that's formidable. I hadn't worried about that until now, but no.
I will now tonight. Thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
Presenting
You're welcome.
That.
This is the how long gone difference. Yeah. It's the how long gone
no,
difference.
No, I mean, that's not really a, like, I mean, what I do with, like, I'm making a specific type of music, and it's...
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not worried that, you know, if there was an Olivia Rodrigo type whistler, she'd be making pop music or, you know... Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. She'd be whistling Paramore songs.
Which sounds horrible.
Not doing what you're doing.
I don't want that to happen just because that would be bad for the world. But yeah, it's not... I don't think it would, like... you know, impact on my album sales or something. It would, you know.
Right. Yeah, I guess it is important to distinguish that you are a musical artist. You're a musician that happens to whistle and not a whistler that happens to make music.
Oh.
But it's a hard thing for people to wrap their brain around if they don't know about it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I get why, like, the whistle part of it is a big conversation and really intriguing. Sure. But yeah, I guess at this point
it's a press worthy attribute that you have.
Yeah, and it's a good conversation starter. And but yeah, it's I do, you know, I want to make good music, and it just happens that I'm whistling it.
No, and you do. The music is quite pleasant to listen to. I plan on listening to it later today, maybe as I prepare dinner.
Cool.
Mm. Yeah, Jason, cool. Don't paint a picture that clear. Wow, that's really something.
Yeah, well, it reminds me, like, I'm very tall, so people always ask me, like, you know, do you play basketball? How tall are you? Blah, blah, blah. If you tell somebody you're a comedian, they say, oh, tell me a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tell somebody I'm a whistler, how 9 times out of 10 they ask you to whistle something? Or,
yeah.
Or how, what, 50-50?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 9 out of 10. And
9 out of 10. Do you have a go-to tune to quickly impress them and move on? Or do you do something different every time?
It depends on the scenario. Like, if it's at a party or something, I don't want to be...
Depends on how hot they are, I get it.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and if they're hot, I'm going... But, yeah, it's...
If they're hot, you're like, what do you want? Wonderwall? I'll take requests.
Yeah. No, I don't, you know, because this is the other thing. Like, I know that people don't understand a lot of the time. They don't understand when they ask me what I do, when I say I make music, and then they ask me what instrument, and I say I'm a whistler.
You know what's coming.
And then they say, like, what the hell's that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know that, like, they don't understand what I do with whistling, and giving them a little, like, short ditty isn't going to explain it either.
It's not fair to you or them to give them that. They need to download the album and listen to it like a real one.
They need to go buy the vinyl and download the album. Yeah.
I guess that's the equivalent of, like, yeah, I play bass in a band, and, like, oh, well, what's it like? And you're like, do, do,
yeah.
Do, 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 do. And they're like, yeah. Oh, that sounds good, man. I'll check you out.
Exactly. Like, I know people want to hear it, but I also don't think it represents what I do that well. But yeah, I oblige depending on the hotness of the person and, you know, where
of course.
That's
of course.
Nice. That's kind of, that's how we approach life too. No, but that makes, that does make sense. Cause I can't imagine being asked every single time basically to do the thing that I just told you. I don't know. That just seems crazy.
It's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. God gave you a gift.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what else can you do?
You gotta blow.
Yeah, well, yeah, you gotta blow.
That's my motto.
Okay, Allison, what's the name of the new album that everyone should go listen to on Spotify and Apple and etc.?
It's called On the Lips.
Great name.
On the Lips.
Great name.
Molly Lewis, On the Lips.
For a little while, we were label mates over at Jag Jaguar, and I'm surprised we didn't cross paths until now.
Oh.
Yeah, we're both in the other category of Jag Jaguar's catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And oh yeah, cool. Well, I look forward to the like spoken word collaboration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We both use our mouths without singing, you know.
Not to waste your time, but if you want to do kind of like a split 7-inch or something, I think that's we would be interested in that. I mean we could kind of figure out the back end, but I think it would be cool to kind of do something together like that.
Okay, we'll talk. I'll get my people
and if we're ever doing a show in the same place around the same time, you know, maybe you can come out and do a tight 15, whatever it may be. I saw you're playing the Bowery Ballroom. Is that right?
Yeah, I am on April 1st.
That's soon.
Soon.
I know. I need to promote it better.
That's what you're here for.
Well, that's what we're here for. April 1st. You can go see
April
Molly at the Bowery Ballroom.
Tickets going hot. Like, you know, you better buy them now.
Low ticket alert.
Get your tickets now. but actually, I do have a really exciting special guest joining me at the Bowery Ballroom, so it's going to be fun. I'm looking.
You can tell us, and we'll bleep.
Can you give us a hint?
Okay, yeah. Will you bleep it out?
I'll bleep it out. Yeah, I'll gladly bleep it.
I met this incredible impersonator, and he's going to come and do. He is so good. He plays once a week every Saturday night at the Carnegie Club, the cigar club next to Carnegie Hall, with an 11-piece band, and he plays songs, and he's incredible. So he's going to do some.
There's a lot of bleeping. There's a lot of bleeping we're going to have to do.
Sorry.
He's a beep. And he does a weekly residency at beep.
I mean, it's okay. It's fine.
Okay, well, that sounds very exciting and very cool, and it feels like, you know, if I'm doing a show for all of your fans, you have a lot of fans and they like it, but it's a fun little thing, you know, at some point to just hear a couple of those tunes mixed in with it.
Yeah, you know, I want to put on like a lounge
cherry on
show.
Top.
It's a show.
This is the ultimate.
A night with Molly. It can mean a lot of things, you know.
We'll bring in a bunch of tables and booths into the Bowery Ballroom. Hey, Toots, let me get another Clams Casino over here. That kind of stuff. That's what you want, right?
If only, yeah. That's my ideal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't let me see the bottom of this old fashioned. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, New York, go check out Molly at the Bowery Ballroom, as well as all over. You're playing shows all over the country. Go check you out.
Yeah, kind of.
You're playing more than one show other than the Bowery Ballroom show. We're not calling it a world tour, but there are other tour dates.
I'm playing in Austin and Arkansas too.
Okay.
So
to be fair.
Okay. So we're working alphabetically is what it sounds like. Austin, Arkansas, Bowery Ballroom.
Yeah.
Who knows where the C place is going to be? Cleveland?
Catskills.
Catskills. You'll do better in the Catskills in Cleveland.
That's true. That's very true. Thank you, Molly. It was a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to meet you
guys.
Yeah,
of course.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks. All right. Bye. Later.
Bye.